You know, we chose this topic about 6 to 8 months ago, and it was interesting because everyone kind of questioned why we were going forward with this. Personally, several of us had known or experienced deaths that were close to us, and we'd seen an increase in the rise of youth using opioids inappropriately and illicitly. And we felt that we needed to bring this to the public awareness. Over the last several months, the media has really taken hold of this because there is such a crisis going on. So it's really good timing to bring this education to the parent community and to the teens because of what's going on in our country right now.
But Jamie Feld, you're an epidemiologist, and so I know that you're tracking what's happening. What is happening in terms of age in this particular youth demographic regarding opioid use and abuse here in Boulder County?
We know that 1 in 7 Boulder County high school seniors have misused or abused prescription drugs. So that includes opioids, but it could include other prescription drugs. And then in terms of our WORKS program, which is our syringe access program, we've seen a decrease in the average age. In 2010, our average age was 49, and it's dropped to 29. So that is individuals who are injection drug users in our community.
Is there a way to track how they ended up as injection drug users and the role that prescription drugs might have played in that trajectory?
In one study of methadone users in Colorado that was done recently, it was found that 70% of individuals that became addicted to heroin started with prescription drugs.
In terms of that, those statistics that you shared about the high school students, is there a way to figure out how they're accessing these drugs?
It can vary for high school students, but we do have information that the majority of individuals get access to prescription drugs through a friend or family. We say that nearly 70% of teenagers that use prescription medication without a prescription get it from their friends and family.
And have those friends and family been prescribed it, or are they getting it from the black market?
It can go either way, but oftentimes people do have the prescription drugs in their medicine cabinet. We know that more people are prescribed prescription drugs than, and specifically opioids, than may need to use it. And so people say, especially high school students, say that it's easier for them to get access to prescription opioids than it is to get access to alcohol.
Trina, how big a deal is this in Boulder Valley schools? Are teachers talking about it? Are parents talking about it? Are students talking about this?
I think students are much more aware than parents are. And I think law enforcement is probably more aware than parents are. There's been a history of opioid and heroin abuse over the years. CU has a huge usage problem as well. But I think that parents are just beginning to see that there may be issues going on. It's a very well-hidden crisis. Young people can use this for quite a while before anyone's really aware that it's going on. I think that as people are entering into their late teens and early 20s, when the addiction has really taken hold is when we're seeing that there's a crisis and a life-threatening addiction going on. But the motivation is to stop it before it becomes that that addictive, and to educate and come together as a community to really support each other. There's too much shame attached mm-hmm. to this, and there's too much stigma attached to it. Mm-hmm. And we need to be able to talk openly about it instead of hiding. I think that it's such an elusive disease that people think of it as the typical addict or junkie, and that's not what we're looking at. We're looking at just normal young people who are getting a hold of the wrong things, and then it becomes an epidemic.
Jamie Feld, in terms of the drugs that are being used, is there any way to track how kids end up using opioids and why?
The cause for why people might use opioids can vary. Oftentimes, people are prescribed them for an acute pain injury, for example, after a sports injury or after a dental surgery. We do see a lot of our individuals that come into our syringe access program say that the first time that they used an opioid was after going to the dentist or after having an injury and being prescribed it legitimately. So most often, if a child is prescribed it, it's for a pain that is legitimate by a physician. However, people can also get it as a recreational drug if they're using it from a family or a friend. We do know that it is possible for students or for young people to use pills in a party setting, and sometimes they don't know what is inside that pill. Recently, we had some overdoses of young individuals, unfortunately, in our community, and we think that it was through mixing of drugs. So using alcohol with another drug like a benzodiazepine, such as Xanax or Valium, and using other drugs. So we always say 1 + 1 = 2, it equals 4. And sometimes even with these pills, people don't know what's inside of them. So for an Xanax or a benzodiazepine, it's possible that it could be laced with something much more potent, like an opioid like fentanyl.
Back in the 80s, there was a major public health campaign to discourage young people from using drugs, the Just Say No campaign, that did not seem to be effective in any way. What is the current attitude around how do you educate young people, and what is the best approach around this type of crisis?
I think that what we're really hoping will come from educating parents in the community is the decriminalization and the destigmatizing of people who use opioids and heroin. What we're trying to do is show that this is not an isolated group of people, and that as we decriminalize and take away the shame, treatment can work. And there are many different forms of treatment, but we're starting to look at what has worked in other countries. Switzerland is a great example, Portugal, where when you start to legalize drugs, so you take away the dangers of overdose and you take away the dangers of addiction, and then you can treat people in a structured environment with therapy and therapeutic use. Those are options that we haven't looked at yet that have been highly successful in other countries. We really want to educate, but Just Say No doesn't work.